Wish to live long.
Wish to live long.
Na.
Na.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Iha.
Iha.
In this life.
In this life.
Amuya.
Amuya.
Or in the next life.
Or in the next life.
I do not wish to live upon being saved from this dangerous position.
I do not wish to live upon being saved from this dangerous position.
Kim.
Kim.
What is the value?
What is the value?
Antar.
Antar.
Internally.
Internally.
Bahi.
Bahi.
Externally.
Externally.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Avritaya.
Avritaya.
Covered by ignorance.
Covered by ignorance.
Ivayonya.
Ivayonya.
In this birth is an elephant.
This birth is an elephant.
Ichchami.
Ichchami.
I desire.
I desire.
Alena.
Alena.
Because of the influence of time.
Because of the influence of time.
Na. There is not. Yes, of which the plava annihilation. Tasya, that atmaloka avaranasya, from the covering of self-realization. Moksham, liberation. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I do not wish to live anymore after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed by the influence of time. For boy, in this material world, every living entity is covered by the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, the Vedas enjoin that one should approach the Supreme Lord through the spiritual master, who is described in offered prayers and the Gotamiya Tantra as follows. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Although one may struggle for existence in this material world, to live forever is impossible. One must understand, however, that this struggle for existence is due to ignorance. For otherwise, every living being is an eternal part of the Supreme Lord. There is no need to live as an elephant or a man, American or Indian. One should desire only to achieve liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Because of ignorance, we consider every life offered by nature to be happy and pleasing. But in the degraded life within this material world, from the life of Lord Brahma down to that of an ant, no one can actually be happy. We're making so many plans to live happily, but there cannot be any happiness within this material world, however we may try to make a permanent settlement in this life or that. Translation again, I do not wish to live anymore after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body externally and internally by covered? What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed by the influence of time. Here, Gajendra, he's defining that the purpose of life is to get free from ignorance. And that whatever situation is favorable for that should be accepted. Now Krishna explains that ignorance in the material world is due to our covering of lust in its variety of
For instance, in astrology, Venus is represented by lust. So one may, or actually, and the avatar for Venus is Parasuram. So one may wonder how Venus, the god of love, is represented, who's Sukracharya as a demigod, how is he connected with Parasurama, who went around killing thousands of Kshatriyas? So I'll learn its colors. Why? With Venus. Yes, he was quite an elegant killer. Because lust, when it's satisfied, turns into greed. And lust, when it's not satisfied, turns into anger. So the goddess of love, the material world, generally manifests itself as lust, anger, or greed. They're all tied together. As soon as greed is not satisfied or lust is not satisfied, then frustration will be there. We may hide it, pretend that we're gentlemen, but we're actually frustrated. Instead of being angry outside, we're angry inside. It's unavoidable. Therefore, Krishna says, Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lovas tasmat etam trayam chajet. That there are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So these are defined as our purpose in human life, to get free from these three experiences of materialistic life. So this is the summary in the second chapter where Krishna says, Dhyayate Visham Pumsam Sangas Te Shubhajayate Sangha sanjayate kama, kama krodha bhajayate. Krodha bhavati samoha, samoha smriti vibramsat, smriti bramsat buddhinashat, buddhinashat panashati. That as soon as we stop engaging in Krishna service or following the rules and regulations either of vanashram or as given by the spiritual master by engaging in devotional service, then at once we start looking around the material world for sense gratification. What is the object of sense gratification that will make me happy? Perhaps when one is young and the senses are strong, then one is thinking about sex life. And when one's senses don't work anymore, then one thinks about other things like intoxication. In any case, there are varieties of sense gratification in the material world, including just the desire to control and eventually destroy things. The desire to control is a manifestation of lust, and when one tries to control, which is manifestation, control is manifested in the present society through money. That if you have money, you can get honey. So everyone is respectful towards money, whatever form it may take, and that usually leads to greed or anger. So money in astrology also is represented by Venus. The ability to get money means you charm people. What does charming people mean? Because Venus represents charm, like Mohini Murti was charming the demons. Come and enjoy. Come and enjoy. And even Mohini Murti was telling the demons, actually, don't trust women because, you know, they're always offering to come and enjoy, but actually, you'll wind up frustrated and exploited. But the demons were thinking, no, it's all right. This is material world. We don't mind getting cheated by women. It's men we don't want to get cheated by. It hurts our ego. We get cheated by women, that's pretty good. That's normal. So they say, no, we trust you. Although you're telling us not to trust you, that shows how honest you are. Let the buyer beware. And eventually Mohini Murti, they got the nectar and they got, well, the demons gave her the nectar. She gave it to the demigods. They got cheated and Rahu cheated them. Got his head cut off. And then Rahu is eternal. That desire to cheat is going on. And the other part is Ketu, who's dead but spiritual. So, if one wants to enjoy in the material world, then one needs money. And how to get money? You charm people, like Mohini Murti. You advertise, this is where you'll get enjoyment. And Maya has that charming potency. That's something which is completely insignificant, people get charmed into buying. If you make the package very attractive, doesn't matter what's in, the people will buy it. Advertisement. In other words, the whole material world, present society, is interested in advertisement, attracting people by publicity. Make it sweet. Even it's actually poison inside, you wrap it up very nicely, you put a bow on it, and people will accept it and take it. So that's the charming potency of the illusory energy, which attracts the living entity to enjoy, to start contemplating the objects of the senses. Ultimately, it all winds up in sex life, because that's the only ultimate enjoyment in the material world, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, with a heavy emphasis upon sex and defending in modern society. For now, because people think they're overwhelmed with eating. Of course, if eating disappears, then they'll become obsessed with eating. But right now, because eating is plentiful, everyone's asleep anyhow, so you don't have to worry about sleeping. And then, so everyone's obsessed with sex and defending, that we can keep on enjoying our senses. So, people are contemplating, everything is meant to that. The underarm deodorant, the car, the music, is all meant as the decoration for sense gratification. And when one can't enjoy sense gratification, then one tries to enjoy intoxication, where you can imagine that you're floating in the air or somehow or another, you can enjoy sense gratification. And then you contemplate the objects of the senses, then the Maya takes over, one becomes lusty, and then one becomes frustrated. Because one can never gratify the senses, because they are never satisfied, and they burn like fire, and then one becomes absorbed in a whole illusory existence, which is what we're experiencing now. We have our life as a devotee, where we're trying to wake up and become real, and then we have a whole bodily conception of life, where we're living in illusion and making other kinds of plans. We have our Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sometimes we're angelic as devotees, and sometimes other things appear in our consciousness. And then we forget, when the other thing appears in our consciousness, that we can become the enjoyer or the controller, we can get money somehow or another and enjoy in the material world, then we forget who we actually are, or even what our purpose is. And then our intelligence, which is meant to direct us towards self-realization, gets spoiled, and we wind up in materialistic activities. So this, Krishna says, this is our greatest enemy. And the way of overcoming it is to control the senses. What does control of the senses mean? oh, just like I can put my hand up and I'll hold it there for the rest of the class. Show you how much I can control my senses. No, Krishna, sense control is Shreya Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunistitat Shredharme Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That it is better to perform one's own duty even imperfectly than to perform someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction, the cause of one's own duty, is better because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. So sense control, mind control, means to find out from the higher authority what we're supposed to do and do it. There's no question of sense and real sense and mind control outside of finding out from higher authority what our duty is and becoming determined with the proper attitude of doing it. Otherwise, we're being controlled by our illusory energy. Either we voluntarily accept higher authority or we voluntarily accept lower authority. So when we don't make a decision to accept higher authority, then that means that our senses are out of our control. We're never really Rishikesh, but at least we're voluntarily making the decision to do what Krishna wants us to do, either through varna and ashram or through higher authority, such as spiritual authority. Therefore, Krishna goes through the whole Bhagavad Gita suggesting different ways of controlling our mind and senses to escape the lower modes of nature and to come to the higher modes of nature, which is what varna and ashram is all about, just going from the lower modes to the higher nature and ultimately getting liberation. But that can be done, Krishna says, just by hearing and chanting about him. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mamnams kuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Krishna says you can do that if you simply hear about me. But hearing is not sufficient. As we all know, because we sit here in class, we hear day after day, or we try to hear, hopefully. But the essential thing is that we're supposed to become determined during the day to become a better devotee, to become more conscious of what Krishna wants us to do during the day, and then to do it to please him. So the whole hearing is not meant to entertain us, it is to help us develop memory. And the only way we can develop memory is to give up contemplating the objects of the senses. Otherwise, we won't be able to remember anything was heard in the class. So even if we hear something in the class about giving up, engaging in devotional service, and not letting gaps be there where Maya can come in and start inspiring us to contemplate objects of the senses, where we'll forget actually who we are, what we're supposed to be doing. We can have sense gratification and at the same time have Krishna consciousness. That means as soon as we stop Krishna consciousness, then the gap will be filled in by contemplation. We'll look around, what should I do? What should I read? What should I think about? Etc., etc. And Maya will offer us so many alternatives to Krishna consciousness. And then the result will be, there'll be some frustration. We try to enjoy and we can't understand it. They made this movie, it cost $2 billion. Everyone else seems to be happy watching it. I watched it and I'm still frustrated. Why? And then Maya will provide us with a whole delusion. Everyone else is good, but you're bad. Some kind of fairy tale that Maya dreams up that we're living in. Or actually, I got to watch it again. Maybe this time I'll enjoy. Maya will come up with some illusion for us to live in. And then we'll forget actually what our mission in life is, and we'll lose our discrimination to how to fulfill it. And then we'll wind up watching it again. And then again, and again. Till we get frustrated enough, we think maybe the next movie will be better. Or we get enamored by the movie, but we're still not completely satisfied. because actually we want to be the character in the movie that we're emulating, and we go out and we buy the space suit or the Batman album costume or something, and we buy all the comic books, whatever. We're contemplating day and night, but it was still not a Batman or a Spider-Man or whatever. So they never quite get there. Therefore, Krishna says, try to become my devotee. That's the whole point of it. But you have to. We have to stop contemplating the objects of the senses. We have to start becoming more consistent in devotional service, or else there's no question of remembering what we're supposed to do to become Krishna's devotee. And what to speak of remembering what to do, there's no clear understanding of how to do it in order to become Krishna's devotee. Although it's all very simple, but we'll forget the simple things because everything will become very complicated. What to do and how to do it and when to do it, etc. And if we become, try to actually become Krishna's devotee, then Baba Madhyaji, how to actually worship Krishna. What does actually Krishna want? How to perfect our devotional service attitude. And then realize that we're simply an instrument, that we can't take credit and therefore become humble. That the credit goes to the mercy of Krishna and his representatives that are engaging me in service, to keeping me out of the trouble that I normally would be in the material world. So some gratitude, at least. Then Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parijaya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Then we can actually go through the process of Sharanagati. Begin to daily accept things that are favorable and daily give up the things that are unfavorable. Become more deeply absorbed in the fact that Krishna will maintain us in Krishna consciousness, and he'll protect us from Maya if we take shelter of him. And therefore, we'll have no business outside of Krishna's business, and we'll always feel meek and humble. Then we can actually reject all our previous bad association, rather than keeping it in the back of our mind, in case Krishna consciousness doesn't work, I have so many other shelters. So we can give them up. Those who are envious of Krishna, those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, then one can actually become effective in distributing Krishna consciousness to others and get the full mercy of the Lord, because Krishna is most merciful, as he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, for one who is his instrument for distributing Krishna consciousness to others. Then one will actually get the Panchatattva and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Gaura Nitya's mercy. And one will always live in Vrindavan, even while one is in the material world, feeling the same separation that the Panchatattva feels from Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. Otherwise, there is no alternative. Either we take to the process of devotional service, or we'll be carried away by the waves of material nature. And at any time we stop, Maya will take over again. When Daksha came back in a subsequent verse after having his head cut off and being replaced with that of a goat, then he wanted to take up his service again as a Prajapati in the universe. And therefore he offered elegant prayers to Vishnu, so elegant that Vishnu and the demigods came to grant him his benedictions. And Daksha became overwhelmed with ecstasy because of the presence of Lord Vishnu. Still, when Lord Vishnu asked him for a benediction, he requested the ability to have unlimited sex life. After all, he produced, I think the first time was 50,000 children, the second time was 25,000. So he was quite expert. That's why it's called Daksha. But that's after experiencing so much ecstasy in the presence of Lord Vishnu, you'd think he'd ask, maybe I should get pure devotional service. But no, because his intention was materialistic desire, to satisfy his materialistic desire. Therefore, immediately Maya took over when he got the opportunity to get a benediction. Immediately, that's what he thought about, his original intention. So we have to be careful that whatever our intentions are, we give them up, or else we'll wind up getting stuck at some point in Krishna consciousness and thinking, I got enough Krishna consciousness, let me try out sense gratification for a while, see what the different flavors are. So I'll stop there, thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. In today's verse, Gajendra seems to be asking about liberation. He says moksha, atma lokasya varanam moksha. He's asking for moksha. Also, I think in the previous verse, he's asking about vimoksha. So, what is his actual position? Is he asking for spiritual liberation? Is he asking for a higher spiritual liberation, or just for removal of suffering? What is his position, and what do we learn from his prayers? We are taught not to ask for liberation, and he's asking for liberation.
Apparently. Well, maybe he wasn't taught that. We're taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was not living in. He was not a member of the Sankirtan movement. All he knew is that for a long time someone was biting on his foot. It was very uncomfortable. But it's hard to give up the desire, even if you want to simultaneously associate with Vishnu or Krishna. It's very hard when you're suffering not to give up the desire for liberation. So there may be many desires there simultaneously. I'd like to be your associate, and I'd also like to be liberated from this problem right now. So it's possible to have more than one desire simultaneously, even in spiritual life. Anything else?
Avadhut Roy saying, usually we say that we should only hear the holy name with attention, but I just read in one commentary of Vishwanath, chanting alone produce results, what to speak of combining meditation with chanting. Can you please comment on this? Thank you.
Chanting alone.
So chanting produces results, but...
Yeah, but the question is, what kind of results? There's three times the chanting. There's Namabhas, Namaparad, Namabhas, and Shudanam. So it's not that all the chanting is equal. And they produce different results. According to the commentary in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if you chant with Namaparad, like the Mayavadis, thinking that they're going to become Vishnu or Krishna by chanting, then they'll go to hell for their offensive attitude. And if you chant in Namabhas, you may become liberated. And if you chant in Shudanam, then you'll become Krishna conscious. Because Namabhas, the clearing stage, will give one some inspiration to chant in Shudanam eventually. But there are different results coming from different types of chanting. As far as combining it with meditation, real meditation begins after the stage of liberation. Otherwise, we may chant and meditate on all kinds of things. Not only Krishna consciousness. So chanting may free our mind, but it may free our mind to do things which are not desirable in Krishna consciousness too. So one has to learn how to chant in Namabhas and eventually Shudanam, so the meditation is on Krishna's name, form, quality, associates, and pastimes. Anything else? Khwala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.